If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sam, congratulations on your new job. You moved from Creative Director Audio on Demand to now Head of Entertainment and News Content for Digital Audio. What does that mean?
Great question. I think it's a more confusing title for the same job. But look, we're really lucky at Podcast One, and the whole sort of digital audio component of SCA has seen a huge amount of growth from an audience perspective and from a revenue perspective. Yeah, we just continue to grow and reorganise ourselves so that we've got the best people in the best positions to help us capitalise on the growth.
Really, your career has been, you know, logical steps, executive producer, creative director, audio on demand, and now this new job. It would have given you some great perspectives on how programming has changed from just radio when you were EP of radio programs to now this multitude of delivery platforms. What are your thoughts on that?
When I was producing Hamish and Andy, I mean, like our first year in Drive, we started a podcast. You know, we were publishing the show as a radio show, obviously, and then we were publishing it as a podcast as well before, like, anyone else was, like, in radio anyway, was really doing that. And it was kind of seen as, why are you giving the show away for free without ads? You know, won't that make it difficult for the sales team? But we knew that all our friends were listening to podcasts. And we also knew that even though the podcast audience was really small compared to the broadcast audience, it was really engaged because 50% of all the feedback we got from listeners was from people who'd listened to the show as a podcast. So we kind of knew that we were onto something there. And then we just, as a new platform developed, we experimented with it. So, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and website, we just always saw it as a way to kind of push the content out to new audiences. And I guess the other thing about digital, be it social media or podcast, is it's much more shareable than radio. All the big ideas and like the kind of things that the guys did that are memorable, for it to kind of gather momentum, often we had to take it off the radio and put it into a format that would allow people to share it. So, I mean, I think that all programmers now see digital as a way of not just marketing their show, but as audiences that they need to serve, audiences that they need to cater to.
One of the interesting things, of course, from those early days of podcasting, which is still now until somebody works out the copyright deals differently, is that pretty much music is a no-no. So podcasts are talk podcasts. And when you've got great talent like Hamish and Andy and interesting, insightful news people, you know, that really powers the talk. But what about people who, you know, the whole radio show is meant to be a combination of music and talk. Do those shows work on the podcast medium?
I think different publishers are experimenting with different approaches there. I think a lot of the Triple J podcast content, like I'm trying to think of the name of the show now, Inspired, that Linda Mariano used to host. Mm-hmm. And I think Lucy Smith is now hosting. I mean, they're using the approach of, well, what if we just play sort of 10-second snippets of things or sort of 15-second snippets of things, and maybe because they're the ABC, that seems to be everyone is happy to turn a blind eye there. With Matt and Alex, one of the new shows that we launched this year, like, so many musicians want to be on that show. Like, the feedback we get from the record companies is overwhelming, that artists just love talking to Matt and Alex. So we often use little short grabs of whatever song it is that they're promoting, and generally bands and artists, I think, and publishers are all happy to just accept that that's part of the promotion. Shows like, there's a really famous show on BBC, like Desert Island Discs.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's going to struggle until there's either someone works out how to get around the copyright reason. But I also think, you know, radio is much more lean back, right? So lean back seems to kind of work with a combination of songs you haven't picked, i.e. they're not off your own Spotify playlist, and talk. Whereas podcasting is much more lean in. So I think people are happy to have the music taken out, or at least most of the music taken out, but I think, there's certainly like a music shift isn't going to work as a podcast, if that's your question.
Yeah. There's a couple of things there. One is the audience consumption habit, I think, has changed. I mean, if you're listening to a podcast on your smartphone, then when you've had enough talk, you can just pause it, you can open your Spotify, you can listen to a few music tracks, and then you can go back when you feel like the next bit of the talk podcast. So I think it affects consumption habits. But I also think that actually this is the biggest issue coming in the next year that the radio and podcasting industry has to deal with in Australia and worldwide. I think we just have to work out the right kind of payment for the right kind of deals, and then allow the platforms to put in recognition algorithms like they do on YouTube, and then just recognize the songs automatically and let some payments go to the people who make those songs.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's certainly something we need to work out, but I don't know if I agree that it's the biggest issue. I mean, I think if you look at the Australian podcast charts, it's dominated by re-edited, republished radio shows. So people are clearly happy to listen to the majority of radio content as podcasts. But I do take your point, though. There's a whole other spectrum of radio content that's not being distributed as podcasts that perhaps we'll be able to once we work out those licensing deals.
And talking of the charts, you've got quite a few of your shows in the top 20, the top 50. Point out two or three of the ones that you're really happy with.
Ooh, how do you choose your favourite kids?
you love them all equally, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Look, really proud of The Briefing. The Briefing, like, I've worked for a long time in comedy and have never produced a news program. Have wanted to work with Tom Tilley for a really long time, and the stars aligned a little bit with him coming off Triple J and me moving into this role. We developed the concept for The Briefing as a daily news show over a couple of weeks, and then turned it around really quickly. We were so fortunate to be able to get Annika Smethurst working on it with us, who's an incredible journalist, and you know, people may know her. She's the
one who was raided.
Exactly. So you know you're doing something right when the AFP doesn't want you to talk about what you know about. And then obviously Jan Fran is just an absolute weapon and just one of the most interesting and intelligent broadcasters I've had the chance to work with. And Jamila Rizvi, you know, probably don't have enough time to talk about how impressive she is. So it's just a bit of a dream team. And then our executive producer, Nick McClure, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, she's
one of
great.
The most experienced EPs in the country. So it's a bit of a dream team, and I think the product speaks to that. It's just such incredible quality every morning, and the logistics that they go through to put that show together every morning. You know, we could do a whole podcast on just that. it's a beast. So super proud of that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Super proud of Matt and Alex. Through COVID, when we had to kick everyone out of our studios, I had the pleasure of relearning how to panel. So got back in the studio and was producing and paneling that show for sort of while Melbourne was in the grips of its second lockdown. So that was a heap of fun. I mean, I just every morning listen to that show, and it's just one of the most funny breakfast shows I've ever heard, and I love that it's sitting on demand. I'm not seeing that anywhere else, so really proud of that. Love working with M. Rusciano. Her podcast is a performer kind of doing the exact show she should be doing. She would agree, possibly for the first time. Love that. And we've just launched in the last week or last 2 weeks the Sugar Rush out of Brisbane. Those two girls who do the early breakfast show on the Hit Network have got an incredible rapport, really funny, and they're delivering a daily 10-minute pop culture show for us. So it's pop culture news, big five stories in under 10 minutes, with really well produced and really funny. And this week we've just launched The Scorecard. So that's a daily sports news show written and hosted and produced by Liam Flanagan, who also co-hosts The Rush Hour on Triple M Sydney. Again, it's really funny scripts, really high production, and for sports fans to be able to get across the five big news stories in about 5 minutes. I've forgotten the big one. And The thing that I've spent most of the last few months doing is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
Of course.
I mean, that's just been... I kind of pinch myself that it feels like the sort of thing I'd be doing just for fun, let alone publishing. But myself and Chris Marsh and Hamish and Andy and the whole team have been able to go back through our 20 years' worth of archives. And as with all things Hamish and Andy, they weren't happy just doing a best-of show, even though everyone else was happy with that. They wanted to come up with a unique concept, and they've certainly delivered that. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to go and have a listen to the Remembering Project as well.
Yes, I really like the angle they put on it, that it's them trying to remember those best-of bits. It's them, isn't it? They always want to do something a little bit different, not the standard thing.
Exactly. Like, it's been a few years since I've worked with them this closely and forgot the level of detail and care and consideration that goes into everything that they do. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun getting the band back together to put that together. And, you know, I think all of us were concerned. We didn't want to just do something that was for hardcore fans. We wanted it to be big and broad and approachable for all people, whether you've listened to everything they've done or nothing they've done, and I think they've certainly achieved that.
And M. Rusciano always said that really she didn't think she was the right fit for live breakfast radio, so it sounds like she's found her medium now.
Yeah, look, I think M is she's such a singular performer, you know. She's so clear on what she wants to do, how she wants to do it, who she wants to do it with. And that can be really challenging in a breakfast radio team dynamic. So she's the first person to say that. And this podcast is her idea. She's doing it with her best mate, Michael Lucas, who is just a complete surprise, to be honest. I've not had anything to do with Michael. He's one of Australia's foremost screenwriters. Created Offspring, among other iconic Australian TV shows. And, you know, the banter between the two of them is just first class. It's a really strong show, and her fans love it, but she's a whole heap of new listeners are discovering her through that podcast as well.
I want to just come back to The Briefing and the new sports show. It seems to me that there's a new trend for young listeners to want to consume news, but not in the old-fashioned way of a top-of-the-hour news bulletin or a long-form current affairs show. Are you seeing interesting, different trends in consumption from the data that you're getting from those programs?
Yeah, correct. I mean, the number one podcast in the world is the New York Times, The Daily. And so, if nothing else, that makes a really clear point that there's a huge thirst for podcast, daily podcast news content. Our first horse in that race was The Briefing. But it's also, I guess, to take a step back, really exciting for us as a business. I mean, daily topical content is what we have done as a business for however long SCA's been around. So it's an obvious choice for us to start to dig into that and go, well, what else, what other daily news products can we create? And so The Briefing was our first crack, and it's exceeded all our expectations commercially and from an audience perspective. And so the next two, and similarly with Matt and Alex, it's daily, it's there for people first thing in their feeds each morning. And you know, that sort of under 30s audience that might not be listening to FM radio as much anymore, but are definitely consuming podcasts, there's a breakfast show there for them each morning for their commute. And similarly with The Scorecard and Sugar Rush. So it's new. We've got pop culture news daily for you at 6 a.m. and we've got sports news for you daily at 6 a.m. It's all written and produced for a younger leading audience, and it's working really well.
Yeah, great. Lastly, the business side of it. Are these things making money, and how are they making money?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think. With The Briefing at the moment, we're sort of just commenced a 7-week sponsorship from the Commonwealth Bank. Matt and Alex are booked right through to the end of the year. Absolutely, the shows are well sponsored and making great money. No surprises that Hamish and Andy's Room project was sold before we even had the thing made. What's interesting about daily content is that we're able to be really creative with our content integration. So some of our podcasts we produce as seasons. You know, once the shows are done and dusted, they're a little bit locked away. There's not a lot we could do from a content perspective for clients. But with daily shows, similarly to daily radio, we can be a little bit more creative at times with how we bring our sponsors' message to life within the mid-rolls, because we're working with the talent day in, day out, 5 days a week. We can just be a little bit more creative with that, which obviously clients really like.
It sounds to me like you're selling it a bit more like selling a television series than traditional live flow radio.
Well, I don't have any experience with selling TV series, so I'm not sure. But it's certainly more akin to how we would sell sponsorships of our radio shows than perhaps how we've sold our podcasts mm-hmm. before. But again, I'm new to it, so I'm a little bit hesitant to comment on sort of historical stuff with Podcast One. But maybe that's just my skills and my experience. Like my experience has been client integration. I mean, that's what we did. That was sort of often 50% of our time with Hamish and Andy, or my time with Hamish and Andy, was figuring out brief responses to try and pay for all the stupid shit we wanted to do.
Great. That's a lovely way to finish. Thanks for the chat, Sam.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks for the opportunity.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.